Gentlemen, before we get going, is there any metrosexual conversations the two of you want to get out of your system?
No, thank you.
I want to get back to who would play Jack Reacher in a film, which rugby player would.
I think I'm clear in saying Nathan Budgett now.
Okay, well, guys, eyes down, heads in the game.
Let's do it.
All right, hands in. On three, pod. One, two, three,
pod.
It is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast as we move ever closer to the start of the season. It cannot come soon enough. We've had some sevens, that's great. But come on, we want the real deal. I'm Tim, JB's here.
Hi, Tim.
And Phil's here.
Hi, Tim.
And we also have a guest in the Egg Chasers International Rugby HQ at the minute. And me and Phil have a theory that JB's just brought along someone to laugh at all his jokes. he's a fellow North Walian pedder.
Hi, guys.
You're right, Ped. So you're only allowed to stay if you are not going to be that...
That guy.
That canned laughter for Jay. Is that all right? All right, deal. Listen, before we get going, I just want to say this. Something I didn't say last week, and I want to say. The little Vine video we made and the observation that we made when we were watching the Super Rugby final of...
Our Vine,
yeah, of the New South Wales Waratahs being... And I bet you will have seen it. I reckon everybody in the whole rugby world has seen this.
Yeah, absolutely. Even people not in the rugby world
exactly.
have seen it.
The observation that doesn't work very well when you try and use Magners cider in a champagne fashion. And the Vine video, it's just gone past 500,000 views.
Wow.
500,000 views. The thing is, we got no credit for that because we've had 312 retweets of it. So that I make that 499,788 times it's been viewed because other people have stolen it. So
someone's going to pay for this.
So thank you, BuzzFeed. Thank you very much, Dylan Hartley and fellow international players. Thank you very much, Paddy Power and all the other people that stole it. Justice for Egg Chasers. That's what we want.
Yeah. Right.
I'd go on hunger strike. It's too much effort.
Now, today's podcast is an exciting one. It's going to be very stash heavy. I hope that's all right with everyone.
Mm. Oh, yes. Let's talk more about stash.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about the Women's Rugby World Cup if you want.
I'd happily talk about that. That was a great game, Ireland-New Zealand midweek.
Yeah. Yeah, not so much for me, thanks.
I don't want to sound patronising when I say this, because I don't mean it in a patronising way. It's been really good rugby.
I really like the close games. Like, if you watched the highlights or the full game, Ireland-New Zealand, that was a fantastic game. But there's a bit too much disparity. Like, England have played two games and won by 60-plus and 80-plus, whatever it was.
I was very impressed by the England team. I mean, last time I watched women's rugby as like a 2-minute section on the rugby club, Sky's rugby club, about 12 years ago, and they looked like watching under 12 boys. They well overweight under 12 boys. They were rubbish. But actually, watching this World Cup, they looked really, really good.
Yeah.
But there's a little bit too much. Oh, it's also PC and right on to be discussing women's rugby. So I'm going to leave it. Thanks.
I think we're not getting enough. I think we should get more than just the rugby. I want to hear post-match interviews. Like, I want the female honey badger to emerge. I want to hear about the sessions that they have, because I bet you...
What kind of sessions?
The women's rugby teams that I remember from university were wild. They were wild.
Yeah, they were.
A few glasses of Prosecco down them.
Yeah, and they didn't leave me with a particular... Mind you, no student... playing rugby body kind of makes me think highly of rugby. So it doesn't, it doesn't really matter.
Some of the top level Busa rugby is like a good standard.
Yeah, but if you're talking about like Manchester Met or
like tier five of the student North tier five.
Well, but to be fair, I played in the Busa Premiership. The rugby on the field was good, and I played with a lot of players that have gone on to play at a really high level. Joe Alab, who played at Toulon, and James Hudson at Gloucester, and Nick Rouse at London Irish, and Rob Higgett, who played for Scarlets and Worcester and Bristol.
You're not the only one here that's played with Rob Higgett.
Really?
No.
Oh, Pedder, is this you?
That's me, yes.
Oh, what can you tell us about Rob Higgett?
Didn't like drinking.
No, he didn't. He was a very straight-laced fella.
Bit boring.
Pro rugby player, mate. Pedder played in the famous game... Well, I think, is it Llanelli came up to Rhythin and got beaten.
All those players played, but at the same time, with that same bunch of lads, every time Rock DJ by Robbie Williams came on in the Students' Union on a Wednesday night, the whole rugby squad had to take all their clothes off. So, you know what I mean? I think that's the sort of, that's what you get with student rugby, isn't it?
Well, exactly. Me and Peds played in the same team at Lancaster University, and we had a thing for, I think it was Spice Girls initially, but then it changed to Girls Aloud. Where every time...
Just moving with the times, I guess.
Yeah, progression.
Yeah.
Where every time a song came on, you have to drop your pants for the duration of the song.
I like the rule. Is it like the three rules?
And to our American listeners, that's pants.
Trousers.
That's pants. Underwear.
No, trousers.
Oh, right.
You keep your underwear on.
Really?
What's this Americanization of the English language? What are you talking about?
Sorry, Tim.
My favorite game is the three-year-old... Like the three-year-old toilet rule, where you've got to have your pants
oh,
around,
yeah.
around your ankles.
Schoolboy weeing.
Yeah, schoolboy weeing.
It's weird when you do it in like the service M6 services. Midday on a Wednesday.
But you know, rules are rules, aren't they?
So yeah, I'd be game on for the women's rugby revealing more about the game, the off-field antics and the sessions and all the rest of it that they have. Phil, you've watched quite a bit of the actual rugby, haven't you?
Yeah, I've watched as much as I can. I've certainly tried to watch the highlights of every game. And there's some genuinely really
yeah,
good stuff.
It is.
Like you said, Jay, I remember seeing women's rugby probably at a lower standard a few years ago, and it was, yeah, it wasn't great to watch. But this is like... highly skillful, some genuine attacking potential, like some real pace on some of the girls. So yeah, I'd look forward to watching
some of the women.
Sorry,
call them women.
I got in trouble in work for referring to some of the administration staff as the girls. And then one of the administration staff picked up the phone and said, "Yeah, we'll just leave it with the girls in girls in reception." Unbelievable hypocrisy when it comes to, you know,
everyday sexism from you, Jay.
Yeah.
You should know better.
I know. That's a worse Twitter account, by the way. Do not follow those idiots.
We are
getting off kit. We're off topic.
Let's get to Stash. And I suppose we've got a correction to make because we got it wrong.
Yes.
We sort of made the...
What did we get wrong?
We made the statement that Leicester and Saracens were keeping the same kit. And the reason we came to that assumption is because... we hadn't heard anything of a new kit. And I think it's quite late in the day for kits to be announced,
don't you?
I think it is,
well. Do you know what? And this is a really strange thing, actually, but if you think about American sports, you always think it's very commercial, very kind of money-driven, and it is. But their kit rules are so much better than ours.
With the white away kit for
everyone? No, you're not allowed to change a kit. You can only change a kit once every 4 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So someone like Green Bay has never changed their kit, ever.
Oh, you did mention this on a previous pod where when it switched to Nike, they like specifically got them to use the same fabric.
Yeah. The whole thing is the same. And I don't know why. I mean, I know why they're doing it for commercial revenue. But I kind of like the idea that you have a traditional kit and that's what you wear. I think it's a really, really good, really, really good idea. And also, here's another one for you. Do you know why there are no sponsors on on NFL kits?
No.
Because they're all made by the same manufacturer?
Nope.
Well, they are.
But that isn't the reason.
Player endorsements.
Correct.
Pedder. our temporary member. Well played.
Yeah, it's in the collective bargaining agreement that they don't have sponsorship on the shirts, so the players can go and get their own endorsements. So you're not sponsored by Sony on your shirt, but you're a representative for Apple, say. Fact. Thank you very much, Tim.
Very nice.
Wow. So Leicester only got a new kit last year.
I know.
Yeah.
They're getting a new kit. I feel really shortchanged because they're not cheap either.
No.
Well, you haven't got one, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, yeah. Well, I know, but if I was going to buy a kit last year, it would have been that new Leicester one.
It's a beautiful kit.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beautiful kit. We've got a problem, though.
What?
We've got a bit of a conflict of interests. Made by Canterbury. Are we going to criticise the new Leicester kit or not?
What Jay is alluding to there is that...
our box of stash.
We have been sent a box of stash by Canterbury, which we're very glad. And if there's any bits we have spare, we will be giving them away. But we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, there's a few new kits, and I think we should just be honest and not be... We shouldn't be partisan.
Well, here's the thing, right? I think Canterbury are a victim of their own success. They made the kits too good last year.
I do know what you mean. When I first saw this kit... I did think it wasn't as good as last year's, and I still think it's not as good as last year's. But
shorts are good.
But that is because last year's was like the pinnacle, the best kit in the golden age of kits.
Yeah.
I do think this is a very nice kit. And it is still quite traditional.
The same racing green. It's got the thin white and red stripes. I kind of like it. I liked last year's.
It looks like someone's put spinning wheels on a Jaguar E-Type. That's what they've done. The old kit was perfect, and look what they've done.
There's a whole load of kits to talk about. So Leicester, you're not sold, and I think it's all right.
It's a good kit. It's a good kit.
It's just not as good as last year's. Where do we start? There's so many. Let's go over to Ireland. You've got.
Yes, the new Leinster, which is another Canterbury one.
No, thank you.
Do you not like that?
The new Leinster. It's too busy.
The Leinster.
Oh, Leinster. Sorry,
European
I'm thinking
of
Connacht.
It looks like right. I'm just going to turn the picture around. You know how when people take one half of one person and one half of another and put them together, so like halfway down the body, it looks like someone's done that.
Why have they done that, Leicester players?
Look at that. It looks like it's two different pictures of Sean O'Brien, who, by the way, is looking massive.
Yeah.
Look at the size of him.
All natural.
Look at, so on the picture that me, Peds and Jay are looking at, he stood next to Gordon Darcy, who's a guy in good shape, but he's like twice the size of Gordon Darcy.
I'm looking at him next to Jimmy Gopeth, who, by the way, Jimmy Gopeth is looking a big lad.
All natural.
But look at the shape of Sean O'Brien there, right? Massive shoulders, huge arms. But look at that. Have you seen the weird... He doesn't have a V shape to his body. He sort of pops back out at the hips again. Have a look at that one.
I think we're on the same picture there.
He's a beast. Just a beast.
Yeah.
Mismatched stripes just don't do it for me.
Oh, no, I quite
Wouldn't
like
you just
that.
Like a solid yellow stripe rather than the...
Not quite aligned.
Yeah, why? Why?
It looks like a mistake.
It looks like there's a glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do kind of know what you mean. Like, if you just... You Photoshop that picture in half and just move one half up an inch.
Yeah.
And it's...
Why would they do that? I don't know.
Rob Carney's a ridiculously good-looking fella, isn't he?
He's more handsome than Gordon Darcy. Is that an endorsement or not? I don't know.
All right, so that's Leinster.
Staying in Ireland, Connacht.
No, not for me. That's one I was talking about before.
Their new BLK kit.
Now, that's a sandwich from somewhere, is it?
I'm not feeling it at all.
It's a little bit too busy.
Yeah.
There's a bit too much going on.
Well, I suppose they're trying to be noticed, aren't they?
I suppose.
They've been dwarfed by the other three. They're the junior region.
It's got like the sort of Spider-Man mesh on it. It's got the one white arm. It's got different lines. I'm not feeling it.
I suppose it'll look good.
You wouldn't want to wear that with a pair of jeans to a game, would you?
No. It'll look nice in the opening rounds of the Amlin Cup or whatever it is now.
Right, let's do this. There is another couple from Ireland. Munster's away kit.
Oh, is that the neon green, like the high vis?
My eyes! Don't show me that again. Like road worker chic, is that?
Yeah.
Are they all just going to go and operate heavy machinery?
Well, maybe that's a comment on their pack. Yes, they are. It's seriously heavy machinery up front.
Maybe.
And then Ulster have got a new away shirt to complement their... Simple.
Let me guess. Is it red or is it black?
White shirt.
Purple.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, purple with blue and red.
That's okay. It's just okay.
Not offensive, but not incredible.
Ospreys.
Yeah, Ospreys new kit got announced midweek.
Now this is an interesting one, isn't it? Because Ospreys have always had a busy kit.
Yeah,
and I wonder if that's just down to local tastes, kind of, you know. All the bling and stuff, they've gone for a gold kit.
Well, is this just a North Wales knocking South Wales here?
You know, I don't know why they just don't go the whole hog and just have like a whole sleeve tattoo one night. Like long sleeve kits with tattoos
with
all
fake
down
tattoos
them.
On
yeah,
them.
And maybe extra room for your roided up muscles.
They've actually picked three guys without. Justin Tipperick, for example, no, there's no sleeve tattoos on that man.
No, there's not.
And Alan Wynne-Jones. Alan Wynne-Jones wears his shorts really high. Look at that.
He can do whatever he wants.
He does not look like a man who's 28 years old.
Oh, God, no.
He is not wearing 28 very well at all. Let's go back to the Premiership and to Bath.
I love this kit.
A picture of Big Gav.
Yeah, I like this kit.
Big Gav Henson, sponsored by Dyson this year.
Hey, Dyson is based at Round Bath.
Yeah, Malmesbury in... Yeah. Somerset, Wiltshire.
And B, now all the Bath fans know where to buy domestic appliances for their house staff. So that's pretty good, eh?
Big Gav looks in good shape, doesn't he?
He does look in good shape.
Apparently he has his shirts made extra tight.
Does he?
He has them tailored even tighter so they fit around his tiny waist.
Nice.
Did you see who Bath sent to like the promotional pictures? So there's five Bath players.
Let's guess.
So,
Batty.
Yeah. Yeah, Batty.
Really?
Batty was in there.
I was joking. I thought that was the last person I'd expect.
Exactly. So
you've Banahan.
Got, so you had Henson, who's like international media superstar.
Francois Lowe.
Yeah. Hooper, who's the club captain. George Ford, current England international and like rising fantastic star. Player. Yeah. And then Batty, who's the second choice hooker.
I said that was a joke.
Really weird.
As a joke. Ugh. Yeah. Well, according to some people that we know in the media, the approach with Gavin Henson is they don't want him in the media at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But he still... Well, does he still sell shirts? He still sells newspapers,
guys,
I guess.
Guys, I've just found the picture that you're referring to, Phil. I think there's something we need to talk about with their shirt. They have all different messages on the different shirts in the picture.
Oh.
George Ford's wearing one that says hot and cool. Dyson, hot and cool.
Oh, really?
Gavin Henson's wearing one that says Dyson, 110 RPM. Hooper's wearing Dyson, animal. Francois Lowe, Dyson on a ball, and then Dyson Digital Slim is being worn by Batty. What's going on?
So are they changing the message every?
I don't know. Ball? Have they got 15 different messages?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, tell you what, it does kind of raise a question. I was talking to the kit lady in where was it? Sale.
Right? Obviously, why?
Well, of course.
Was this on official Egg Chasers business?
No,
thought,
no,
I know what I need for the podcast. The kit lady at a sale.
Well, she was saying, well, because at the end of the year.
No, hold on. How did you meet the.
Because
kit lady?
I bought a sale top and then I got Tom Brady because I thought it's hilarious to have Brady on the back. So I got Brady at 14 on a sale shirt. It's one of the old match shirts. So what they do is they order the shirts in and they put on a player's name, but they reuse the shirts over and over again to save costs. What I'm alluding to here is Bath are going to have to, if they're going to change their message every week, they're going to have a whole new set of kits.
I've got an answer on what they're having on their shirts. Okay, so the quick stepping wings and centres will be the Dyson 110 RPM.
Ooh.
No!
The decision maker, halfbacks and fullbacks have Dyson hot and cool on them. The forwards, the ball poaching back rows, are the Dyson on a ball shirts.
Oh, clever.
The combative physical second rows will have Dyson animal on them. And the heavy hitters in the front row will wear Dyson Digital Slim.
Is that ironic?
I think it must be.
That's really
wow.
cool.
And the away shirt's going to have Dyson on a ball.
Yeah, that's
weird.
Cool.
Okay.
Fine. I like it.
Let's move on. Northampton Saints.
Lovely.
Yeah. So it's Bird of Sports, isn't it?
Big improvement on last year's.
Yeah. It's very like traditional classic.
I love
very
the stripes.
Nice.
Hoops.
Well done, Northampton Saints. Let's have a little game of Just a Rugby Minute then. This is me being referee, umpire, and JB and Phil trying to talk for as long as they can about a given topic. They have no idea what's coming. I'm going to pick it. It's rugby based, this first one. JB, I'm going to start with you.
Uh-huh.
If you hesitate, repeat, or stumble, then I will pass on to Phil. Whoever's in control at the end of 60 seconds wins. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bledisloe Cup.
This is a competition played in the Southern Hemisphere between New Zealand and Australia. Been going for a number of years now, with the All Blacks triumphing more often than not.
Pass to Phil. pass back to JB.
This year's squad for the Wallabies will include Israel Folau, who is a league convert and probably the seventh or eighth convert.
Hesitation, Phil.
This competition is played at least three times a year, if not more. Last year was played four times, with three in the Rugby Championship and one outside, which was a game I think played in Hong Kong. They'll be doing something similar this year, where they play the games within the Rugby Championship and then... They're playing...
Hesitation, JB.
Bledisloe Cup.
JB wins this round of Just a Rugby Minute. Right, should we get on with some stash then?
Yes, let's open it.
Stash!
Right, we've got a box of stash. And this is the new season's team wear. Is that a pair of scissors you got there, Jay?
I just brought these with me.
Come on, Like, isn't it geeks on YouTube that do unboxing?
Yes, it is. Like the new iPad.
Right, should I just hack into this then?
I'll tell you, we'll put it up on the table, AJ. Like a kid at Christmas.
I'm very excited. It's a big box.
No, don't worry. I quite like your missus. I won't make a terrible joke.
Wow.
Jesus.
Okay.
This is a lot of stuff.
Extra large, please.
Any medium, send them my way, please.
Right, okay.
Keep away, Penner. This is not yours. So large.
Take us through the kit.
Yes, this is awesome. This could not be any more exciting. In fact, I'm wearing a Canterbury top as we speak. So I'll take off my existing Canterbury top and put on my new one very shortly. Okay, oh, yes.
Medium.
These are awesome. Where are my jogging pants, Phil?
There's a couple of large here.
Yeah, give me them.
Sweatpants.
Wow.
Yeah!
Jay.
We've got one JB in his pants. And now getting into his...
Sure that these are large?
Jogging trousers.
A little bit toish.
They look good. They're a good fit.
They are a good fit.
Oh, my word. They have done us a solid here.
Yes.
We are a big fan of short shorts, aren't we?
Oh.
I hope rugby never loses short shorts.
Yeah.
Oh,
I just wear short shorts anyway. Yeah, not just for training, just not about just for the gym.
Right. So no. On a serious point, because this is, you know, a lot of people will have their team sponsored by Canterbury, and this may well have the badge and crest of their team on it. So it's worth just like doing a general review of the kit.
Awesome.
Good. Okay, that was a good review. Let's move on and get back.
Buy
to
the some. Other stuff. Buy some now.
I love these hoodies.
Quick review on Canterbury. Awesome. And if anyone's worried that we could be bribed into doing stuff by giving a stash, you're 100% right. If you want us to say anything nice, just send a stash. Send us whatever you want. And, you know, doesn't matter if it's made out of child labour or rare elephants, we will promote it.
Such high quality, 100% cotton.
I mean, the fact is, we came here in Canterbury stuff anyway. And I've just taken off my Canterbury T-shirt and put on a different Canterbury T-shirt, so, you know.
Oh, man. As you might have gathered from the fact we've just spent a massive chunk of the podcast talking stash, we love stash. And I think rugby players in general love stash. Yeah. I know players can't talk about it, but the way that Quinns were talking about having Adidas as their kit manufacturer, you knew they were so excited last week. And listen to last week's podcast if you missed it.
But it's always like one of the most exciting days of the year, the day that the stash comes. Everyone gets a box of stuff.
Yeah, now, these are large, right? Now, I'm large in terms of Marks and Spencers, but how large am I in terms of people who make rugby stash? Am I just an extra large or a large?
Yeah,
or...
either we need to have one in standard that goes across everything and every genre and every type of clothes and everything, or you need to have, like you say, in rugby terms, you're large in Marks and Spencer compared to someone's grandparents who might go in and get themselves some beige slacks and some comfortable pumps.
Why would grandparents be buying beige slacks?
It's kind of Marks and Spencer's.
Kind of thing you wear, Jay.
Young trendy men wear beige slacks.
I had someone last night, to be fair. But in rugby terms, you're not large. You're medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Phil, you're wearing medium right now. There's no way in rugby terms.
And you dress...
I'm small in rugby terms. But if I go to...
All Saints.
Top Man or Zara, I'm an extra large in Top Man, which is just ludicrous.
What?
Yeah, genuinely. I've had like T-shirts and stuff in Top Man that I can't get into a large, so I have to buy an extra large, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That's just keeping us fatties out, isn't it? That's all it's doing. You're right, you make an interesting point, because there are some shops which, now I'm 14 and a half stone, I'm a little maggot compared to how I was. By the way, I'm glad I'm not playing rugby anymore, because I would just get... I think the forwards would disown me if I turned up pre-season training right now.
Didn't Bruno, a mate of ours who met you a few weeks ago, think you were a 10?
Yeah, so we were at JB's wedding, and he went... So you was playing rugby then, did you? What position? Were you fly out? Were you fly out for what? You look like a 10. Like, no, I played hooker. And Pedder, you are Pedder and JB both have pedigree in the front row. I'd just be ostracised, just be left to one side.
Yeah, too skinny.
But yet in some shops, I wouldn't be able to get into their clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's outrageous.
Your arms, mate.
Wow. Wouldn't say that to him.
Who are the worst worst at this. Abercrombie, they're the worst, aren't they?
Muscle Fit.
Yeah, Abercrombie are bad. Top man.
The ironically
bad.
Named Muscle Fit.
Yeah, they have a clothing.
But my God, the girls at work there. Oh, they're just wandering around, spraying perfume on stuff.
In the dark.
In the dark.
Yeah, they call it Muscle Fit, but anyone with any muscles.
Yeah.
So my arms could get into Abercrombie, as Ped says, but
maybe it's because you have to have like muscular dystrophy, like Stephen Hawking to get into it.
That must be it, actually.
just that was too long to fit on the tag. It wasn't catchy enough.
Yeah. Dystrophy fits. No, it doesn't matter. No, let's workshop this.
I don't know where we're going with this at all or what we're doing with that, but
by Canterbury, it's fantastic.
It is fantastic. It is good. And it's nice to rekindle that feeling of Christmas, because it's long, long days since I was excited to run down and open my presents on a Christmas morning. But that's how it felt just now.
Yeah. Yeah. Very exciting.
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff. Right. We better go on with some actual rugby chat rather than just stash. And the Rugby Championship starts this weekend coming. Finally, we've actually got some proper rugby, because the Sevens, I enjoy watching it. The Women's World Cup's been great. But there is nothing like the elite, the greatest players on the planet going toe-to-toe, head-to-head. And that will be happening this weekend for sure.
This really is the greatest players on the planet. The top three teams by quite a long way.
Top three? There's four teams in it.
Yeah,
the top three teams are.
And then Argentina. So it'll be interesting to see how they do this year. Because they're yet to record a win in the Rugby Championship. They lost by 1 point in Brisbane against Australia last year.
Australia, but no pushovers this year. Yeah. They've improved drastically.
Australia are a much, much stronger squad.
Amazing. In 12 months, they've turned it around.
Yeah.
It certainly feels that way.
And with the players they're not going to have involved, that would probably walk into any international team.
Yeah.
James O'Connor and Craig Cooper.
Yeah.
And if he gets back to form, Will Genya.
Will Genya. Ben Moen, I don't think, will be playing, because he's off to Montpellier.
No, he's seeing.
Obviously, David Pocock is still recovering from
Moden injury. Is the eight. He plays for...
Moen played for Brumbies.
Who's the eight for Western Force?
Benny McAlpine.
Could well be.
The Honey Badger's mate.
One of the best bits of commentary ever was when the Western Force were packing down, and they said, well, what they could really do with here is a try. I was like, well, yes, obviously they would need a try. Well, and then next one was, with this eight, they've certainly got the man to do it. The man to pick up from his own 22 off the back of a scrum and run it underneath the sticks. Who is this man? So obviously very highly rated by the commentary teams in Australia.
Bledisloe Cup to kick things off in Australia. This mouth-watering. We're all going to obviously say that South Africa are going to probably do a job on Argentina, probably comfortably win as well.
Yeah. Home or away?
South Africa at home.
South Africa home first time. And then a week later, it's the reverse fixtures. So,
where do you think they serve the better steak after the game?
Oh, that's a really tough question.
It is a good question, isn't it?
Have you eaten steak in Argentina?
No, but I have in South Africa. And I've been to Gaucho in Manchester, so that counts.
Basically the same thing.
Basically the same thing. Do we know what the teams are yet for...
They've not been announced.
Not at the time of recording this.
Now, Henry Speight can't play in the first one, can he?
He pulled his hamstring a couple of weeks ago in the semi-final, didn't he?
So we're not likely to see him at all?
We might see him towards the end. It's like Dan Carter will miss the first few games. He's cracked a bone in his
That's
leg.
Incredible, that.
How did he manage that?
That was kicking. That kick.
Kicking a ball.
Yeah.
He's done, isn't he?
Oh, I think he might be.
I think he's done.
So Henry Slade has been called up into the New Zealand squad for Dan Carter.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you what, that's a terrifying prospect, isn't it? New Zealand are going to be nice and warm throughout the Rugby Championship. And then they're going to be coming into... their first Autumn International will be against USA.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear.
End of October.
The end of USA Rugby, I imagine.
For another 30 years.
Yeah. Incidentally, on that one, I'm absolutely devastated that I can't make it, but there is going to be an Egg Chasers trip to Chicago for New Zealand against... travelling to USA.
That's right.
That's the plan at the moment.
Chicago special. We're going to be broadcasting from an old department store, so it'll be interesting acoustically.
A Kit Kat from the store.
Anyone who knows rugby songs will understand that. If not, then ask someone who knows rugby songs. Anyway,
Do you want to pick the player to watch for each team, the most important player from each team?
Kick off with, for Australia, Hooper. What you face when you face New Zealand is certain death if they get quick ball. That's just the way I look at it.
Yeah.
There's no one better that executing and finishing and taking chances. When they have quick ball, they will just obliterate you. If they can slow the ball down.
That's a very good point.
If they just get clean ball to those backs, anything can happen.
The Australian or the New Zealand backs.
Oh, well,
either.
I think Australia have probably... Oh, hang on. No, because New Zealand have about 13.
Fekitoa.
Fekitoa.
Ben Smith as well.
Oh. Yeah, Ben Smith. And
this is
going to
be
Surveyor.
Epic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Surveyor on Folau. They've got like almost like mirror images.
Yeah. Like if you go man for man. In fact, I'll tell you what, that's a really good shout. Let's
do that.
We don't know the two 15s exactly, but let's pick the best 15 from the two teams, Australia and New Zealand.
Fullback.
Folau.
Okay. Yes.
Wings.
Surveyor.
And
Spate?
Spate probably won't be playing. There's talk of Pat McCabe.
I love Pat McCabe.
On the wing.
I wouldn't want him on the wing though.
Could be Adam Ashley Cooper.
And you could have Ben Smith on the wing for New Zealand Israel Dagg. Or it'll be Corrie Jane, Ben Smith, and
I'm a massive Pat McCabe fan because he's just basically made out of granite. And some of the smashes that they put in is completely different to all the other Australians. But I'm not sure I'd have him on the wing.
There's been talk of it in the last week.
So who are you saying in the other wing? Ben Smith?
Yeah, probably Ben Smith.
He's got to get in, hasn't he?
Fekitoa 13.
Is it too early? Is this not the real test for Fekitoa? Are we not just based on a couple of good game or one good game against England at international level?
Highlight reel, which is just incredible.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. And we've said on the podcast a few months ago he's going to be a superstar and one of the best in the world. But I just think we should be careful not to just hype him up too much because he's had one good game against England at international level. That's it.
He had an incredible game against the Sharks in the top 40 Super Rugby playoffs. But yeah,
I'll throw him in. I want to see it.
It'll be interesting to see whether he actually starts because Conrad Smith is an outstanding outside centre.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, how can you forget him? He's won it all, done it all.
Yeah.
You make a good point. I don't know. Would you go Curtly Beale 12?
I think Australia will probably use him as a utility back, depending on other people's fitness.
Like
Joe Tamani's out, I think.
Personally, Nonu Smith.
Yeah, I probably would do. They've got such a long history of playing together as well.
If you had to put your life savings in your...
Oh, I'd throw it all.
You'd go Conrad Smith all day, wouldn't you?
No, I'd throw it all on like the slippery, Fekitoa.
He's going to be incredible. He is already an amazing player, but...
And I'd have Fekitoa at 13 and Curtly Beale at 12 just because it'd be such a joy to watch.
It would be exciting.
Wouldn't it? It's so cool.
Who'd be your 10?
Bernard Foley.
Yeah, probably. Well, no, I not my 10. I'd throw in Quade Cooper. I mean, I know that's not going to happen, but that's what I'd like to see.
Bernard Foley.
I think Foley of the two.
Oh, he's played his way into it, right?
Form 10 in the world at the moment. He's superb in the closing
stages. He lacks a bit of range with his kicking, though, doesn't he?
Because he's always played second fiddle. It's easy to look at Aaron Cruden and kind of not rate him, but he is. I think he's grown into a really, really good 10.
Yeah.
The other thing as well, you might want to note about Bernard Foley is a lot is made of him playing 10 with, I never said it before, Curtly Beale at 12.
Yeah. So, because Curtly Beale takes the pressure.
Stop going on about Curtly Beale.
He's so good.
Get a room, you two. Jeez, Jay.
I would not want a room with Curtly Beale. Mind you, you wouldn't see him till 5 in the morning, so it might be all right.
Have a good night's sleep by the time he gets back.
Yeah, I actually think both these teams are fairly weak at scrum half.
Aaron Smith.
Aaron Smith is very good.
Do you think he's better than
Nick White?
Nick White.
Yeah.
I think Nick White is the better option of the two. I don't think Aaron Smith is particularly great.
No, I do. I like Aaron Smith.
He's got, what, 30 caps to his name now?
And Genya? Is he going to be in the mix?
Not in his current form.
No.
He's not in the squad currently.
Is he not? Nope. Not even in the squad? Wow.
No.
So that's
it's Burgess, Phipps and White. So our back line is Aaron Smith at 9, Foley at 10. What do we go with? Nonu and Smith in the centre?
I'd say Nonu and Smith. Jay would have the exciting Beal and Fenton.
Yeah. And then a hat-trick of Smiths, Ben Smith on one wing, Julian Savera on the other, Israel Folau. So for Australia, you've got the 15 and the 10, and it's all New Zealand. Other than that, 15 and 10 are important positions on a field, though. So
indeed they are.
But that does show the strength, perhaps, of New Zealand in the back line. So forwards then, props.
Franks.
Owen Franks at tight head, surely.
Yeah. Franks.
Tony Woodcock at loose head.
Yeah.
Woodcock's injured. He's having surgery. And Stephen Moore, who might be a shoe-in at hooker again, is injured.
Is he captain Stephen Moore?
I think he was.
He was,
captain,
wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was. It'll be Michael Hooper.
Hooper, yeah.
So I guess... Is Dane Coles now starting regularly?
There's Man Ray as well.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah. He probably will be.
So will Ben Franks slot back in on the loose head?
Unless it's Wyatt Crockett.
Let's jump into the second row then. Brody Retallack and Sam Whitelock, do they both get in?
I think so.
Unless Skelton gets in.
He's had one cap at this point. He is good. James Horwell, would he get in the team, or would it be Rob Simmons?
Rob Simmons, you're probably going to end up with...
Retallack
and Whitelock.
And Whitelock.
Yeah, Whitelock's outstanding.
Back row.
Reed,
number eight, thank you. with a notable mention for Wycliffe Parlu, because he is an excellent player. On the flanks...
Would you have Hooper ahead of McCaw?
Yes.
Would you squeeze McCaw in at six?
I would go Richie McCaw in the team and Hooper as well.
I'd probably have Hooper and Liam Messon.
Yeah,
Messon at six. Who's captained the Chiefs to the previous two Super Rugby titles and had a lot of New Zealand caps in the process.
Right, so again, it's a New Zealand-dominated pack. Six out of the eight forwards we've picked are New Zealanders, and five of the seven backs are New Zealanders.
That's interesting.
So there's only four Australian players have made our combined 15.
It's interesting, because I think Australia are going to win.
So the first game is in Australia. They've got the home advantage. Half their team will be on the back of beating half the New Zealand team two weeks ago in the final of the Super Rugby.
What more do you need if you're one of those Canterbury players coming off just going 2 weeks' time?
Yeah.
Three weeks.
But I think what we've shown, although we pick more New Zealanders, there was very few positions where it was like an absolute clear-cut New Zealand win. Everything was debated very closely. The Waratahs Crusaders game was won in the last minute with a kick, and it could have easily been a Crusaders win.
Yeah.
So I think what we're saying is it's going to be very, very close.
I'm not sure. I think I'm going to say Australia win by over two scores.
Wow.
That's just my gut feeling.
I think I'm going to do exactly what I did when we were predicting the Super Rugby final, and I think a narrow New Zealand win.
I'm going to say a narrow victory for Australia to beat New Zealand for the first time in what is probably 17, 18
test matches that they're
currently unbeaten. Very narrow victory for Australia.
I'm going for Australia as well. But I might even put some money on it.
Wow.
Ooh.
Well,
but not with Paddy Power.
No, because they are tweet thieves.
That's right.
They stole. There we go. Well, hopefully rugby is the winner, to use a corny phrase. And that is the Rugby Championship. Yeah, we're not really talking about Argentina, South Africa quite so much.
Because we expect a comfortable South African
win. When are those matches, by the way, actually? I need to get my TV viewing sorted.
This coming Saturday, 11:05 is Australia, New Zealand. And South Africa, Argentina is 4:05.
I love morning rugby.
That's a very reasonable time to watch a game of rugby, bearing in mind it's in Australia.
Yeah, 11:05 is a good time. We can do like we did the last few weeks. Get up, have a nice bacon butty. Pot of coffee on the go.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
I was at the cricket, actually, and I was working at the England-India cricket match, and I was so grateful. And I said I'd say thank you to them because they listen to the podcast, but they're Paul and Rory, the engineers, who bring along with them a George Foreman grill everywhere.
Do they really?
Because they hate spending £7 on a burger. So you just remind me. So I was going to the Tesco's near Old Trafford, and I'm buying some premium burgers to whack on the George Foreman grill.
And I
had a chat with Adam Holyoake while I was there, so it sounds like a terrible name drop. I need to get the name drop clag out. There you go. I met Adam Holyoake, had a chat to him, and he was telling me about rooming with Darren Goff. And he told one brilliant story, he said that he was rooming with Darren Goff on an England tour in Zimbabwe, and he was flicking through the TV channels, and one thing came up on the channel saying, disable adult movies. Darren Groff turned to Adam Holyoake and went, I tell you what, that's disgraceful. What's wrong with normal porn? No, mate, it means you just turn off adult movies. And he said another story as well. Darren Goff didn't realise that Zimbabwe was a landlocked country. Turned up to the airport with a surfboard.
Brilliant.
Oh, I know. Oh, it was good. It was good. That was good sport as well, actually, I have to say. The cricket was top notch.
It's nice when England win, isn't it?
Brilliant. It's brilliant. Right, Just a Rugby Minute. Let's have a little round of Just a Rugby Minute then on the podcast. This is me adjudicating Phil and JB trying to flex their rugby muscle and their brain and their knowledge to try and talk for as long as they can on a given topic. Phil, the one for you is Women's World Cup. Go.
So this year's competition is taking place in France at the moment. So far, we've had two rounds of games. England played...
Hesitation. JB.
Women's Rugby World Cup is most noted for the backslapping right on this of following a female-based sport which has a superior male counterpart. BBC website is dedicated primarily only to that form of the game at the moment, which I find most irritating. The standards in said competition have risen dramatically over the past 10 years or so.
Hesitation, Phil.
England started off their competition against Samoa, who they beat quite comfortably. They then played Spain women's rugby team and again beat them by 50 or 60 points. The game of the tournament was Ireland versus New Zealand, where
God damn!
Yes, Phil, yes. It's a win for you. Did you know how the Rugby World Women's Rugby World Cup, do you know when it started? Anyone?
2 weeks ago?
No. It was 1990.
Yeah, they said New Zealand have been unbeaten for 20 years.
Is that right?
That's what I was going to say. 20 years of New Zealand victories. They've won it four times, which is pretty impressive, that.
Yeah.
Do you know how many teams are involved in the Women's Rugby World Cup?
12.
Well done, Phil.
Bloody hell.
Including Kazakhstan.
I was going to say, can you name the 12 teams?
I bet you can.
Well, try and name the 12 teams that are involved.
England, Ireland, Wales, France, Kazakhstan, Spain, South Africa, New Zealand, Samoa, Australia.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other ones. USA. Oh, yeah, Canada are in it as well. Did that was the one?
Did Saudi Arabia field a women's team this year? No, still not done it.
Oh, dearie me. Okay, then next up on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, and you can always get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. And we've been asking you to get in touch for a very, very important reason. As the start of the new season gets ever closer, by the start of it, Phil is going to have a team to support.
When are you actually going to pick a team, Phil?
Probably the week before. So 7 days before the final.
So the last week in August.
Are you going to know in your own mind who you're going to pick?
Well, at the moment, I don't know. Obviously, I've got a few through to boot room, but...
Will you buy their shirts, right, before the podcast, and then you can unveil it by taking off your hoodie?
That's a great idea.
And we'll put up a vine.
I'll see if logistically that will work, but... Yeah, I'm sure I can do that.
All right, I love it. So Phil has played man and boy for Sedgley Park. What league are they in now?
It's National 2 North.
They're in National 2 North, but you played with them from about that level through to the Championship throughout your career and mini rugby and Colts and all the rest of it. Phil, therefore, has never supported a team. He's never known the joy of following one team. And so he's going to experience that, and the podcast is going to experience that and share that with Phil. We just need a team for Phil to support, and that's where you come in by telling us why it should be your club, telling us all the things that make your club great. It's rich history. It's fantastic feeling that you get in the clubhouse, the good atmosphere, the brilliant players you've got. Whatever it is that makes your club special, and at whatever level that club operates, then tell us why it should be the one that you follow as well. Because the reward is you get an extra follower in Phil who will be buying the shirt and be coming to games, but also it's a shortcut to getting loads more chat on the podcast about your team. So get in touch at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. And Phil, like the littlest hobo, is going to try and find a new home. Who have we got this week, JB?
This week we've got London Scottish.
Right.
So
Firstly, this email does in no way mean London Scottish condones or partakes in any form of bubbling. So, big downside there, Phil. Started on the wrong foot, in my opinion.
In your opinion.
Okay. London Scottish Football Club was initially set up in 1878 by three Scottish blokes and has since then enjoyed a rich rugby history. The club has endured difficult circumstances in recent times, and in 1999 they went into administration and promptly relegated nine divisions by the RFU.
Yeah.
They then, however, were swiftly promoted seven divisions in 10 seasons. While Scottish don't enjoy playing in prestigious competitions like the Heineken Cup, oh, he's made a typing error here. Prestigious competitions like Heineken Cup and Pro 12. You can't mean Pro 12, surely. Anyway,
criticising his typing, though.
It was a joke.
Yeah,
Feather.
It was
right,
a joke.
Get out, get out.
Sorry, I didn't pick up on it because I was. So it was the joke was.
The joke is Pro 12 isn't prestigious, Tim.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
We all in. Thanks,
oh,
guys.
Dear, sorry.
Cheers. They have a huge amount else to offer for the discerning rugby fan. Okay, so. Playing at Richmond Athletic Ground in the Championship, last year they finished a credible fifth place, missing out narrowly on the playoff spots. Having made a number of new signings this season, they have an extremely good chance of returning to the top flight for the first time since 1999. Key players include back row Mark Bright.
Yes, used to play for Redruth.
Oh, good knowledge. Well done.
Yeah, played against him at Redruth.
Who has recently returned from playing with England Sevens at the Commonwealth Games, and the gas man, Miles Mantella, on the wing.
Can I just say, when I was a teacher, I used to coach, in the sixth form first team, I used to coach two of the guys in their squad. Chevy Pennycook, who...
No, you mentioned
is
him
their,
before.
...is their open side flanker, brother of Redford Pennycook, who's back at Newcastle, and James Phillips, who was at Exeter. Big lad, number eight. So just that was it. So it'd be nice to hook up with those two lads I used to coach.
Apart from rich heritage and quality free-flowing rugby, basically they play in Richmond, and drunk blokes shout Prundy. What does that mean? Prundy. P-U-N-D-I-E.
Prundy.
Yeah, apparently that's to do with driving malls. So every time they have a driving mall, they shout that.
Prundy.
And the bagpiper will play Happy Birthday to you.
Oh, wow.
That's good.
Right, bagpipes, okay, because we've seen a lot of it through the Commonwealth Games in Glasgow and stuff, right? But I only found this out. Bagpipes are now, in modern days, being used as a musical instrument to make lovely melodies and songs. Do you know what bagpipes were invented for?
Was this something to do with Pakistan?
Maybe.
I think that's where they're from. I think they're from Pakistan.
What were you going to say, Tim?
No, bagpipes were used as a war weapon to make a noise so horrible to make the opponents that you're about to battle really intimidated and scared. And now they're used as to make music with.
Well, aren't they used now to accompany huge pyrotechnics displays before Scotland lose tragically again? I thought that was the whole point of them. Something else here. They once let a group build a 10-foot totem pole out of beer jugs. You won't be allowed to do this in the stoop. That is factually correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. There's some ex-players and stuff, but that's pretty much London Scottish.
Okay.
Thank you very much, London Scottish, for getting in touch.
That comes from Harry Mills. Cheers, Harry.
A compelling case, and it would be an interesting one to drop down to the Championship. That's a league you know very well, Phil.
Yes.
And like we say, no one could accuse you of being a glory hunter by joining the London Scottish
ranks. If I were to accept London Scottish, then no one could accuse me of being a glory hunter.
No.
Have you got any Scottish heritage in your family at all?
Yes.
There's a slight ginger tinge in your beard.
Yeah. Some Irish and some Scottish and Welsh and English and all over the place. Celtic heritage.
Well, there we go. Nice one, London Scottish. Is there another one, Jay?
There might be someone somewhere on in here.
Sorry, who invited Jimmy Savile to the podcast then?
Oh, very good.
Let's do London Scottish first. Let's see if they're going to go through to boot.
Oh, of course. Yeah, all right. Yeah. So you've heard the case for London Scottish, Phil. Where is your head at?
Well, the idea of going down, spending a lovely sunny afternoon in Richmond,
yes,
on the beers, watching some rugby,
good,
is very, very appealing.
I bet we get some great access,
to
players, and we'd probably be like, they'd roll out the tartan carpet for us.
Well, you would hope so.
They would.
It's kind of a big deal.
Now, I've just got on their website, and they've also got a prop Singapore, Lovejoy Chawatama.
Player.
Which is an incredible name.
I know of him. He's massive.
And I do like a club with a lot of history.
Mm.
However, there's a few things I'm a bit concerned about. Firstly,
bubbling.
What happens if Scotland get their independence? Are we going to kick them back up?
I don't know, because there is a London, Nigeria as well, and as far as I'm concerned, they're not part
of the UK.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem.
More of a problem for me is their history of financial instability.
The money was simply resting in the accounts.
Phil's love of spreadsheets and facts and figures and numbers and coming
rules,
back to
multiple
the four
rules. Yeah. Yeah. They were cheating.
Someone wasn't following good accountancy practice at some stage in their history.
Oh no. What does this mean, Phil?
And so...
But they are now. They're
You can't punish them for something that happened so many years ago.
Accountancy is important to Phil.
Very important, Tim. And given that we've already got a club in Richmond who have made it through to the boot room, I'm going to say no thank you to London Scottish.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
Deary me. It's a dagger to the heart.
Isn't it? Well, that will be them down another seven divisions now. Done.
And a Maury poll that we're just getting through has said that that decision has had a 5-point swing in favour of Scottish independence now.
I hope they go. I hope they go. So miserable. And then they can go and eat deep-fried Mars bars all they want. And they can pay for it with all the oil money until it runs out.
Would you make Wales independent?
Would I, hell? They would sink within minutes. It's not like we've got oil. What do the Welsh people actually do who stay in Wales? Very little. They whinge about English people.
Wow. Have we got another contender for boot room?
I do have one more.
Go on.
But I'm going to give it to you to read, Tim.
Okay.
And you'll understand why now. Here you go.
Is it Newbury?
No, it's not.
Okay. The message here, it's come from Kingston, bro. And it says, how about supporting a London club? No, not the one that won the Premiership recently, says Kingston, bro. No, not the two that have made Premiership and Heineken Cup finals. That's right. I'm talking about 2012 Premiership Rugby 7 Series champions, London Irish.
Wow.
Tell me more, Tim.
Oh, a bit of Dropkick Murphys as I talk about this. London Irish! But I hear you object. I'm not from London and I'm not Irish. Well, Phil's already just said he's got a little
he
bit of Irish
in him.
He lives
in London.
And he kind of lives in London through the week, so... don't worry, neither are we. But if you can't find a great-great-great granny that was from Ireland, it certainly helps. We play our games at the Medeski Stadium, which is a great stadium, but unfortunately a football one. But unless it's the St Patrick's Day, you can pick your own seat and watch some good attacking rugby. But make sure you learn the route to Brentford. But don't worry, you'll have a few years to do this. Oh, they're moving. I didn't...
Oh!
Oh, they're going to Brentford.
Ooh.
That could be an exciting development for them. We always try to play attacking rugby and strongly believe in using our academy. Some examples of academy players. I mean, we've talked about this
on
the podcast
before.
When they
say strongly
believe
in using their academy, does he mean our only option is to use our academy?
No, we've talked at length about the number and quality of players. And again, Kingston Bro here has just listed off a few players that have come through London Irish in recent years. Topsy Ojo, Nick Kennedy, the Armitage family, Jamie Gibson, Jonathan Joseph, Adam Thompson, David Pace, Shane Geraghty, Alex Corbisiero, and there's more. You can watch some young players before they move on to Bath, Leicester or Northampton to win things. And you even see their coaches learn the trade before Bath take them. But more importantly, at the heart of London Irish are the fans. As you can tell from this pitch, we like to have fun and enjoy rugby with a smile, an ethos shared by this podcast. Quite right, Kingston, bro. So come down to Reading, have a pint of the black stuff, don the green, enjoy some attacking rugby and join the Irish family. Oh, and we also have Jeb Sinclair, who needs to join Banter Squadron, surely.
Here, here.
Yeah, good point.
And there's a certain Nick Rouse, but I'll leave your co-host to explain that one.
Phil's just pulled up some of their players. They've got some handsome second rows.
One in particular.
Great. Good breeding, I guess.
Well, yeah.
It has been mentioned before that I have more than a passing resemblance to one of the London Irish second rows.
Really?
Are you older or younger, Tim? I can't work it out.
I take that as a wonderful, wonderful compliment. I look at least 10 years younger, but then I haven't been battered in the Premiership. So, London Irish, what are you thinking, Phil? We've had a case put forward there for London Irish.
Yes,
it's not a fashionable club.
Where's the clubhouse? Is it when you say the clubhouse? Is
well, kind of in
the stadium.
In the stadium.
Is it a good place to drink?
Yeah, the players come out and they're very social and everything. There's that. You can't get away from the fact it's a football stadium, and you lose a little something.
Well,
there.
Football fans just can't be trusted to drink, can they? They're such morons. They've ruined it for everyone.
But I mean, Phil, you said you like trying to buy low, sell high. London Irish have just had a new consortium with a bit of money taking them over. They're investing heavily once again in their academy, and But the flip side, they've underachieved perhaps, or haven't achieved much in recent years. But could that be changing?
Also, what would you do if you supported them and then Mr. Rouse moves? You'd have to. I mean, Tim wouldn't be so into them. You might.
Well,
have to
no,
move
actually, do you know what? My hometown club is Newbury. And a lot of people in Newbury, it's only 20 minutes up the road to Reading, so a lot of them go and watch London Irish. So, you know, it'd be nice to bob back to Newbury. It's a team that I have a lot of affinity for personally, but that's not my decision because this is down to Phil, and you can go one way or you can go the other.
Yes, indeed I can. Now, I do like the fact that they try and play attacking rugby, even though perhaps they're lacking some of the firepower to do so properly this year. They've not got Marlon Yard and James O'Connor in the backs. Yeah. Top Jojo's not getting any younger.
He's not.
And I like the fact that they've got a strong academy. And like we've named them a few times, players that are playing in the top 14 in the Premiership. There's so many players who have come through the London Irish Academy. So that's really good. But I am a bit of a glory hunter. I don't think they've got much chance of winning any silverware next year. Maybe an LV Cup victory if their academy boys can do something.
Yep.
And their kit last year was one of my favourites, which I know Jay...
It was awful.
Which I know Jay
hates.
It's
awful.
But that ISC was good, and I don't particularly like their kit this year.
I like it better now I've seen it in the sevens than I did just in the picture.
The only way you'd like the old kit is if when you first saw it you were hanging out, you know, in Victoria's Secret being pleasured by three of their models. That's the only way you'd like it.
So, given the fact that St. Patrick's Day game is always a good event, and that would be quite tempting to go down and have a few beers, London Irish and the St. Paddy's Day game.
Is it worth supporting a team just for one weekend?
Well, I think for me, it is worth putting them through to boot room.
Oh, wow!
I did not see that coming.
Congratulations, wow. London Irish. London Scottish will be spitting chunks that the Irish compatriots have been put through.
If they get themselves into the Premiership, then I might consider them.
Wow. Wow.
That's controversy reigning on the podcast in the Fan Free Agency. You've not got long left to get your pitch in, but get your pitch in. Well done to London Irish. Commiserations, London Scottish. Both fine, upstanding clubs. Only one can be the team that Phil chooses.